Meanwhile, the crew of NASA's Artemis II mission have travelled further away from the Earth than any humans before them. They surpassed the 248,655 miles reached by Apollo 13 in 1970. They've also become the first people to witness a solar eclipse from space. I'm joined on the line by David Moore, the chairman of Astronomy Ireland. David, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
A record-breaking day yesterday. Tell us about the significance of this achievement.
Well, it shows we're going back to the moon. This is all part of a whole new series of missions. The next mission, Artemis 3, won't go to the moon either, but Artemis 4, in 2 years' time, is expected to land people on the moon for the first time since December 1972. And then it's building up to two landings on the moon a year, building a moon base and staying on the moon this time, whereas when we did it before, half a century ago, it was all about a prestige battle between the Soviet Union and the Americans. But now it's to actually start mankind's colonization of space. So it's an incredibly important achievement to have put people around the moon, even if they haven't landed. It shows the spacecraft can do it. And it's now probably just a formality before Americans, they're going to do it in 2030. Mm. So there's a new space race on. All very exciting stuff.
Yeah, so a lot of activity. Why did it take so long to break the record from 56 years ago, given all the advances since then in the likes of technology and everything else?
Yeah, the moonshots in 69 to 72 will be seen as sort of an anomaly. It cost the Americans 5% of their federal budget to get to the moon, to beat the Soviet Union. It was really about showing who's technologically more superior. And yeah, at the time, you have to remember, the Soviet Union had beaten America on practically everything in this space race. They had launched the first satellite. They put the first man into space, the first woman into space. They had come first spacewalk. They'd done everything. Mm. And in fact, they nearly even beat the Americans to the moon. They built this huge rocket, which unfortunately exploded the same year that Neil Armstrong, an Irishman, by the way, from County Fermanagh, before they actually, earlier that year, had that mission succeeded, the history books could have been quite different. Mm. And Neil Armstrong might not have been the first man on the moon. Interest dwindled after that when the more and more missions were sent to the moon. You had the science, a good reason to go to space, but the national prestige had been proved. Public interest ebbed a little bit, and they ended up cancelling the last few missions after Apollo 17. And then, you know, why are you going to spend 5% of your federal budget again on proving something you'd already proven? It shouldn't have happened as soon as it did in 1969, that technology was pushed to its very limit. But today, the technology is, I won't say commonplace, but there are two huge billionaires, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, who have already got their own space companies personally, and there are other billionaires and organizations doing it as well. So the landscape has changed. Now you almost don't need governments to be doing it anymore.
Okay.
Private individuals can.
Yeah, interesting. And I'm just looking at some of the beautiful images that were released yesterday, looking at the beautiful see you on the dark side of the moon. That's the Earth set image captured by astronauts on Artemis mission and a lunar eclipse. That's one of several images in today's papers. That image is on the front of the Irish Daily Star. What did you make of all those images?
Absolutely incredible. We're watching the mission live. If you go to Astronomy Ireland's website, astronomy.ie, you'll see the links to where to watch the whole thing live. And they've been running live 24-hour video a day since they went up on 1st of April. No joke. And they won't be coming back until Friday night, Saturday morning, Irish time technically. So people can watch that for themselves. Live, they didn't have the bandwidth to send the information back, but they managed to beam the pictures back to the Earth while the crew was asleep, hold a press conference, yesterday, and they've released some of the images. There are thousands of them that the astronauts took.
Really?
We'll be hard-pushed to pick the best one for the front cover of Astronomy Ireland magazine next month.
Yeah, I'm also struck by the fact that, absolutely. I was also struck by the fact that a lot of the, some of the astronauts, they spoke about the sense of wonder, excitement. They reflected on looking at the moon. Like, it wasn't just the sort of technical speak that you would expect sometimes from astronauts. There was a genuine sense of wonder and excitement to them.
Yeah, I think how cold scientists can be moved by something really spectacular. And you know, these astronauts were seeing the moon up close. They say that if you hold your, by the way, your little finger at arm's length, you can easily cover the full moon in the sky. The moon for them was as big as a basketball held at arm's length. So it was like looking through a telescope, just looking out the window. And the moon is covered in detail. There's no clouds, nothing hazy. It's razor sharp. And they got an incredibly unique view of it in that parts of the moon they saw, no other human they'd ever seen before, because the moon keeps the same side pointed towards the Earth all the time. And the Apollo astronauts were always pretty close to the moon, whereas this mission was deliberately designed to fly past the moon to make sure everything works before they risk landing people on the moon. They were 4,000 miles away from the moon at their closest. So they had a totally different perspective to the Apollo astronauts. And, you know, I've seen the moon through telescopes. We even held a moon watch a few days before they went off to show the public the kind of views that the astronauts would get. And I've been looking at it for decades, and it never gets old. There's always plenty of terrain. And listening to them describe it, which you could just see in your mind, oh, yeah, they're the kind of things I've seen through telescopes, big telescopes on a good night. They can see them just looking out. They didn't release any pictures as they were going live, but one of the astronauts did actually just hold his iPhone against one of the windows and holds the picture up to the camera that was filming the astronauts inside. And you could see the kind of detail just on an iPhone that you'd be glad to see in a powerful telescope.
Okay.
And then we knew, you know, the actual images with the powerful telephoto lenses they had were going to be something special, and it's proved to be that. And they've, you know, they've got these unique perspectives of the Earth had to go behind the moon at some stage. We think the 1968 photograph of the Earth rising over the moon gave rise to the entire environmental movement that we have today. Because people realize, you know, there's this blue marble where we all live, and we better look after it because it's the only one we can see in the universe.
Yeah, looking ahead to space exploration, obviously 1969 was when mankind first set foot on the moon. We're now in 2026. What do you think is achievable in the future regarding humans' ability to do things on the moon?
Well, NASA has a new boss, administrator, as they call him, Jared Isaacman, who had a bit of controversy with Trump, and I suppose who doesn't, in that he was going to put him forward as the new director of NASA. Then it turned out he had donated money to the Democrats and felt the nomination was dropped. But then they patched it up and he nominated him again. And he is now the director of NASA. And he sounds like the man for the job, because the week before they set off for the moon, there were 5 hours of press conferences, all under the banner of Ignition, where he's completely revamped NASA to stop messing about with lots of red tape and just get on with the job. And they've said they're going to land people on the moon in 2 years' time, 2028.
My God.
Then they're going to have more missions, have a moon base by 2033, and a permanent presence on the moon then. And then after that, it's about going to Mars. And they haven't set the dates of Mars, but even at the press conference yesterday, he's listing all these other missions they've got going, from a new giant space telescope that's probably going to be launched next year, to lots of other missions as well. So NASA isn't just about this Artemis mission. It's got all these pieces of hardware in under construction, ultimately leading to a permanent presence on the moon and using that as a stepping stone to Mars. Because until this, we only had the International Space Station, 400 kilometres above the Earth. The moon's 1,000 times further away than that. And getting to Mars is nearly 1,000 times the distance to the moon.
Yeah.
So it's a handy sort of stepping stone halfway between the two in that regard. And Isaacman is determined to see people on Mars. Some people think it's just too difficult to do. But at some stage in the future, who doesn't believe the future of the human race is in space? Be it decades, millennia, whatever it takes, we'll get there eventually.
So we might have weekends away to the moon at some point in the future, I suppose, in terms of Artemis 2. The astronauts on board Artemis 2 at the moment, foremost in their mind will be a safe descent. They have the 3-day descent back down to Earth. They're arriving back down to Earth, all going well, on Friday. There's going to be a big splashdown into the Pacific Ocean. How much risk is there associated with that, David?
Quite a bit. It's about 1 a.m. our time when they splash down. And Artemis 1, the first mission, the giant rocket that actually was able to get to them and come back, they had some problems with the heat shield when it came into the atmosphere. So we'll be hoping that they fix that and nothing goes wrong. It still, the crew still would have survived, but it didn't work as good as was hoped. And re-entry is extremely dangerous. The outside of the craft hits about 2,000 degrees Celsius from friction. It actually has to skip off the atmosphere to slow itself up a bit and then plunge down into the atmosphere to be picked up by ships just off the coast of the USA and the Pacific, as you said. And I remember Neil Armstrong himself, was lucky enough to interview him in 2003, and he said when they went, they reckoned they had about a 50-50 chance of coming back. You wouldn't be allowed to do a mission as risky as that in today's world of health and safety. They really had the right stuff back then.
So I hope these guys have better than 50-50 this time. So would you give them a 90-10 chance of coming back this time?
Looking at how well this mission has gone, I mean, this is the first time the craft's had to look after people, and people are a lot more difficult than anything else you put into space, robot crafts, computers, cameras, that kind of thing. We've seen they've had problems with the toilets, and that's all they are, it's problems. Like, technically, the toilet works fine. It's the waste system, if you like, the septic tank that they're trying to empty out. That's the problem. And I'm sure they'll fix that once they... that will actually be landing. So the engineers have a great fun trying to figure out what went wrong, make sure it doesn't happen again. The Apollo astronauts didn't have a toilet. They had to do their business into actual containers.
Really?
It was a lot less civilized that way. So this is a new departure. I'm smiling and thinking about it. They still have the containers that they can use, so it's an inconvenience. But everything else has just worked beautifully. Some of the corrective maneuvers that they needed on the way to Moon to get the orbit perfect weren't even needed. They hit the target. And this is a new rocket. A giant rocket, over 300 feet tall, taller than any building on this island, that got launched into space, weighing, I think it was 5,000 tons. So to throw that kind of hardware up, that kind of accuracy, keep the astronauts alive and well, let them take the kind of pictures they've taken, break all these records that they've broken, bodes well for the future. So I'd be pretty confident if I was one of those astronauts. They've all been in space. Well, three of the four have been in space before. So they're veterans of this kind of thing. And all we can do is just hope everything works just as perfectly on re-entry. And they go to the White House, as President Trump said to them. He invited them when he spoke to them. And there's a bit of a ticker tape parade like we had in the 60s and 70s.
Great. David Moore, the chairman of Astronomy Ireland, thank you very much for joining us on the show. We'll take a break.